Really happy to have with us now one of our great friends of this show. He's become kind of a semi-regular from ESPN, their national correspondent, Sal Palantonio. Sal Pal, welcome back, man.
Yeah, Vic, happy NFL season. It's nice to get some football back last night at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, and let's start there. The season kicks off last night, and I guess it's a story that the officials really weren't a story.
No, I thought that guy from Oregon did a good job. He was real clear in his delivery. They didn't miss a major penalty. I think the referees that are locked out probably looked at that and said, we better get back to the bargaining table and compromise pretty quickly because we're going to lose our jobs. I mean, if Ronald Reagan could replace the air traffic controllers, Roger Goodell could replace the referees, right? I mean, it seems like they did a pretty good job, and I think the NFL made a really smart decision, and that was locking those guys out early. If they were going to have that be their approach, locking them out early and then having the replacements come in and get about 5 or 6 weeks of training under their belt
right. Before
the regular season started. And, you know, so much of it is presentation, and I thought their presentation was real good, and I thought they were effective. They kept the game in control, which is what you want to see, and they didn't make any major errors. Now, we'll have to see. That was one guy. They obviously picked him knowing he was pretty good in the preseason for
right. The
first game nationally televised. We'll have to see now on the lower rung of the ladder how good they do.
And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys starting out with the victory that a lot of people, I guess, weren't expecting. The defending Super Bowl champs playing at home, all that emotion and excitement over getting their season started, having guys like Phil Simms on the field before the game. So, as usual, prognosticators who were seeing this as a Giants win were wrong.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else we were wrong about, and that was that the Cowboys' defense would outplay the Giants' defense, and that the Cowboys' defense under Rob Ryan would not blitz Eli Manning. We just got the next level numbers from ESPN Stats and Information. I pulled them up knowing I was coming on the Vic Carucci program, of course. Here's the number that's going to blow you away, because when I saw it, I had them recheck it. The Cowboys sent 5 or more rushers, which is the definition of a blitz. The
mm-hmm.
Cowboys sent 5 or more rushers after Eli Manning on just 10 of his 35 dropbacks. That's less than 30%. After doing so nearly at a 50% clip last season. So the less aggressive approach by the Cowboys really worked. It confused Manning because we all thought, okay, you get Carr, you draft Claiborne, what does that translate to, Vic? It translates that Rob Ryan is going to bring the blitz off the bus.
Right.
He didn't do it. He didn't do it. And I got to tell you, I think it surprised Manning, and clearly Manning was off balance because he only completed 41% of his passes in the face of the blitz and was sacked 3 times.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
No, it isn't at all.
It was a really well-coached defense, I thought, by Rob Ryan. And the Giants did not have good pass defense. They didn't have. They needed to blitz more than they did last night. They
right.
were much more reliant on that young defensive back core than they should have been. They needed to blitz, and they didn't. They didn't get to Romo when they should have, and their DBs, their young DBs, got burned.
Sal Palantonio from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Sal, before we dig into the Browns and that season opener against the Eagles, a team that I know you know very well, any other national sort of storylines that you're going to pay particularly close attention to this weekend?
Well, I think the biggest one will be the performance of Andrew Luck. He did so well in the preseason. You know, I host a matchup show, the NFL matchup show, which debuts this season at 7:30 on Sunday morning with Jaws and Merrill Hodge. And I was with Ron Jaworski yesterday at NFL Films, and he was going through Andrew Luck's snaps in the preseason because there was a lot of chatter, a lot of buzz about how well Luck did, you know, on all the shows, everywhere you looked. I said, Jaws, is this real? Is it not real? He looks at me, he goes, this is real. is real. This guy has good pre-snap presence. He has recognition ability beyond his years. The Bears don't blitz. They play a very vanilla defense. The Bears only had four different defensive formations last year that we charted at NFL Films. They're very vanilla defense. They won't blitz. And I think that Luck can have success against the Bears right out of the chute. And wouldn't that be something? And then you put it, Chuck Pagano's new 4-3 defense against Jay Cutler, where they have problems, you know, obviously protecting the passer. That's been their big issue. I think the Colts could shock the Bears. I really do, and that would be a heck of a start for that rookie quarterback.
Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, of course, one makes his debut, one of the five making his debut this weekend is Brandon Whedon for the Browns, and he does it against a very talented Eagles defense. Sal, your thoughts on how you expect Whedon to handle himself and handle this challenge, one of 15 rookies starting, or not starting for, but on this Browns 53-man roster.
Yeah, well, there's two things off of that, Vic. You saw last night where rookies make mistakes. It takes time to get acclimated to the speed and the power and the strength of the NFL. I don't care who you are. And you saw it last night. David Wilson fumbles. J'Ron Holesley has a bad block in the back on a punt return. They had problems with the young people in the secondary. You have rookies. You're going to make mistakes. And that's why I think people look at the Browns overall and see a team that is being remade again and is going to struggle a little bit. But I think they're going to struggle a lot against the Eagles' pass rush. Jim Washburn, in my opinion, is the best defensive line coach in the league, and he has six guys who could start at defensive end, not defensive line. Defensive end. He's got six guys who could start anywhere in the NFL. That's a heck of a rotation. And now that they've shored up a little bit in the middle, I think that they'll really come after the passer a lot more because the guys will be fresh. You're looking at a rookie quarterback, and you don't know what the running game is going to be in Cleveland. You don't know what you're going to get out of Trent Richardson. So I think they're going to come after Whedon hard and often. They saw it in the preseason. I think this is a very difficult matchup for the rookie quarterback in Cleveland on Sunday. I really do.
Yeah, and looking at it from the Eagles' perspective, though, Sal, obviously Michael Vick coming back from that rib injury. Understand he's supposed to have some extra protection to deal with that, the injury that he suffered during the preseason. Do the Eagles have to manage that in any special way to kind of just help prevent him from a hit that could take him out of the game? Or do you even bother to do that? Michael Vick's game really is hard to manage, right, because it does involve so much of that improvisation along with trying to throw the football.
Vic, they have tried to manage Michael Vick and failed miserably. I'm reading his autobiography right now. It's amazing to me that this guy has remade his life after spending 20 months in federal prison, getting married, having children, remaking his life from a dogfighter in the hood to a guy who lectures around the country on the ills of dogfighting. And yet, he can't remake his football career.
Yeah.
It blows me away. He still remains careless with the ball and careless with his body. You know, it's unbelievable. He won't slide feet first. President Barack Obama, he's at a fundraiser out on the West Coast with Nnamdi Asamoah, the Eagles' corner.
Right.
And he goes up to Nnamdi and he says, "Tell Michael to slide." And I'm like, Barack Obama's got to worry about re-election and Mitt Romney. He's got to worry about Syria. He's got to worry about the nuclear buildup in Iran.
He's got a few other things on his plate.
And he knows enough about the NFL to tell Nnamdi to tell Vic to slide feet first.
Yeah.
So if the president in the Oval Office knows he should slide feet first, it's been a total failure of the coaches and the players in that locker room to get Vic to slide feet first and protect protect his body because he slides headfirst. You're a running back. You're not protected. It's crazy. But here's the thing. Vic turned the ball over way too much last year. 6 red zone turnovers led the National Football League. The Eagles had 9 red zone turnovers. Vic had 6. No team, not even the Browns, had more than 5.
No, that's a telling number.
Not any team had more than 5. Vic had 6. The Eagles had 9. They were minus 14 in the turnover ratio, finished 8-8. Could you imagine if they were just like minus 1 or 0? They might have gone 12-4.
Sure.
They outgained their opponents by 1,200 yards. They outscored them by 68, and they finished 8-8 because they had 38 turnovers. If he doesn't turn the ball over, they win a lot of games.
So,
let me pivot
ahead, yeah.
for you one thing. Nick Foles, remember this name. He's the one rookie quarterback not starting who probably should.
Well,
maybe not for the
Browns,
Eagles, but for somebody.
I was going to say, Browns certainly saw what he could do in that third preseason game. He was impressive. Let me ask you about Andy Reid. This has been such a horrible year for Andy and his family. You could pretty much stop the story there with the death of his son. But beyond that, to have a short while ago the owner of the team, Jeffrey Lurie, basically say that his job is on the line more or less in terms of getting something much better than an 8-8 season, that won't be acceptable. How do you view what Andy Reid has to deal with and the pressure, and is that a distraction for this team?
Yeah, well, they're mutually exclusive. Obviously, what happened with his son is a very sad situation, and everybody here feels for him. That has passed, I think, to a certain degree, but you just don't know. You just don't know because you can never put yourself in that situation.
Right, it's unfathomable.
It's not for us to comment about it, frankly, and I have refrained from commenting about it other than to say we're saddened. But I think the Jeffrey Lurie comments last Thursday were a long time coming. I think there's Andy Reid fatigue in Philadelphia. People are ready for a change. And yes, he's gone to the playoffs. Yes, he's been successful, but it's been 14 years. You know, you're not Louis the 14th. You're not king for life. You're not a Supreme Court justice. Nobody gets a blank check, especially in this business, especially in a town that hasn't had an NFL championship since Dwight Eisenhower was president, 1960, just before Kennedy took office. So you got to believe that this town is ready. When you look at the Redskins, Super Bowl winners multiple times, Cowboys, Giants have won it twice in the last 5 years. So this is a town that's ready, and I can understand where the owner's coming from because I live here and I hear the fans. And I'll tell you what Jeffrey Lurie did, Vic, was give the fans an out by saying he wants to see, quote, substantial improvement from 8-8. There are a lot of people here who are saying, I'll take 8-8 if it means getting rid of Andy Reid.
Wow.
I'll take one more year of mediocrity if it means moving on.
Hmm.
So there are people here who heard the owner and were happy he said that.
Sal, great stuff as always. We look forward to catching up with you often during the course of the season, my friend.
You got it, my brother.
He is Sal Palantonio from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.